Personalized video. Did you see? Did you hear that? Our name in it and everything. Very cool. Hey, God's still alive and well. Amen.
Amen.
And it's great to see what's going on with 360 Serve. They're doing a Christmas end of the year gift opportunity. There's brochures in the back. If you want to sponsor a gift for any of these different people in the different groups that we're supporting. You can do it online. You can do it through the brochure in the back. But you have 3 more days to get them in through the end of the year, and be a great opportunity to spread a little love through material gifts to those who have less. Amen? Very encouraging, though, to see what's going on in different places, all the baptism, new churches. And if you heard, some of them in places there was no Christian presence previously. That's awesome. Great to hear. You did it. You made it. Last Sunday of the year, and you're in church. Good job. Right on. Hey, did you make it through Christmas?
No.
How many people ate too much? Right? Okay, I ate too much too, which is a little bit concerning because I had salad. I still found a way to eat too much. So, but it was a good time. Hopefully you enjoyed your family and you were a blessing to them. And now we get to figure out how we're going to go into the new year. Happy New Year, I want to say. Amen?
Amen?
Happy New Year. We've been doing a series, Prophet, Priest, King, Savior. It's our Christmas series. This morning I want to give you an end of the year extra, a Sunday extra, because we've morphed it into a 5-part series. We're going to have a little bit of fun, because when you get a prophet, a priest, and a king, and a savior, and you get them to perfection in one entity, what do you get? I'll give you a guess. Look at the screen. It's pretty easy to figure it out. What do you get?
Jesus.
You get a, starts with L, but only rhymes with board, has nothing to do with it, right? You get a Lord. And I want us to look at that this morning as we close out the year, because the Christmas holiday draws attention to Jesus Christ in every single way. I love the irony of modern culture and everything they do with Christmas and the material gifts and the whole thing, because what does it all trace back to? I mean, ultimately, who's it give attention to? Jesus, right? I mean, we say Mary what?
Christmas.
Christmas. It's in the name. A service for Christ, a Christ Mass, right? I love that he gets the most attention. And it really, I don't know if you, let's do a visual here. This should be kind of fun. I don't know if you get this, but you know, in this book right here, I hope you're familiar with it. We read it regularly. Careful there, Arkansas fan. I saw you with your hat. You know the first half of the book, you know what it all leads up to? The middle of the book. You know what the second half of the book all points back to? The middle of the book. You know what's in the middle of the book? The most important thing, the 4 Gospels talk about Messiah, prophet, priest, king, savior, and
Lord.
It's great and it's fitting for us to talk about this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray and we'll jump right in, because we're gonna have a little fun in Isaiah today. So, Lord, thanks for this morning. Thanks for your word. Thanks for what we get to do all year long, what we get to commit to next year. Because we have an active God, a loving God, and we know we'll never be alone, as we just sang. And so, Lord, we thank you for the year. We thank you for the things that are over, that we needed to be over. And then we're thankful for the gifts and the blessings that you gave us this year. And we look forward to what you're going to do. May we trust you for it. And may the time we spend in the next few moments in your word make sense of it and prepare us for it. In Christ your Son's name, amen. Amen. All right, we're going to do Jesus is Lord, and I want to, well, let's just jump in. Isaiah chapter 40. We had a lot of things that we quoted over the last 4 or 5 weeks, different prophecies and things like that, and there's going to be a sign, right? The virgin will be with child, and that comes from great passages and things like that. We quoted it from Matthew when he recites it and such. And this sign is actually Jesus himself. And I love what it says, that where it says, and so therefore I shall give you a sign myself. I myself will give you a sign, which is kind of double meaning. Is myself the sign, or am I going to give you a sign? Which one is it? It's both of them. And what I love is looking at Isaiah chapter 40 and understanding where this kind of comes from, or at least what it would have made sense of it for those who understood it. And, you know, in their culture, Isaiah is like he's the top notch of the prophets, of course, until Jesus comes. And they would all know. And so I want us to be more familiar with it this morning, especially as we go into this next year. So let's jump in Isaiah chapter 4D, verse 1. And I want you to tell me if this sounds familiar. Comfort, and some translations say, comfort, O comfort, my people, says your God. Heard that one before? We're gonna hear some verses in chapter 40 that you've heard, maybe through devotionals, maybe you have a book that you read for a study, things like that. Isaiah 40 is quoted more often than you actually realize. And there's a bunch of stuff, and it all goes together. And it all goes together in a way that accentuates Jesus Christ as Messiah. Because those of us that went to seminary, maybe in one of your classes, they would have drawn a bunch of attention and made you write a like 25-page paper on chapters 40 through 48, because they are considered the messianic passages. It's a group, 9 chapters in Isaiah that accentuate Christ, draw attention to him, elevate him, describe him, make promises about him. And chapter 40 is the beginning of it, right? So this is like the kickoff, right, of the Super Bowl. Here we go. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her, for her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. I love this because it kind of sounds like prophet, priest, king, savior. Hey, no more worries. It's all been taken care of. You've been parted. War's over. In fact, payment's been made. A voice cries, verse 30, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Have you heard that one a time or two? Yeah, when you hear that, who do you think of? John the Baptist, right? He was the great prophet that preceded Christ, the one born to Zechariah and Elizabeth, where the angel came to Zechariah and said, hey, I know you think you're too old. I know you think you couldn't have kids. You thought she was barren. Guess what? Nothing will be impossible with God. And he will be the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. And it points back to this great chapter that starts this great section that brings attention to Lord. We're going to see it here just in a second. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So we're preparing the way for the Lord and a highway for our God. So was Isaiah clear on who was coming? Who's about to show up? He says it outright. Every valley shall be lifted up. That's the low places. Is that literal or is it symbolic? It's both. Right? Can he move mountains? Absolutely. Can he do it emotionally for you? Can he do it relationally for you? Can he do it occupationally for you? Health-wise, can he bring your valleys up? Yes. This is the interactive portion of the morning. Welcome to Rock Bible Church. Can he bring your valleys up?
Yes.
There we go. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain and hill be made low. If you start thinking everything's really good and you get credit for it, can he? Well, as my dad used to say, don't get wise, bubble eyes, and knock you down to peanut size. Can he bring you back to reality?
Yes.
Get your attention? Can he do it to other entities that look like they have power and need to be corrected? I mean, God is the ultimate measure and the ultimate control. Every mountain will be made low. Not could be, not should be, will be made low. And uneven ground shall become level, the rough places a plain, and the glory of the
Lord.
The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Do you know what happened with prophet, priest, king, and savior? I just read it. Somebody tell me. What happened when we got prophet, priest, king, and savior? Go back a slide. There it is, right there at the bottom, verse 5. The glory of the Lord was revealed. Now, I've heard the glory of the Lord in church my whole life, way too many times. Have you ever heard a phrase so many times that it loses its value? Loses its meaning? That's amazing. I hate that phrase. That's amazing, because we say it about so many things that nothing is amazing anymore. And we've lost the meaning of the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is that he can provide and does provide all things and is ever present. And he promised it. He said back in Isaiah, guess what? The Lord is coming. Make a straight path. Get prepared. And when he does, you're going to know who he really is. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. Okay, great. That's like big words. And can somebody translate it? Yeah, you get to know him. Or the way I like it said, he's knowable. I love that. Now I want to read more. Because if my God is knowable, I want an action plan. I'm so glad that Christmas is over. Because all the planning is done. We had to plan this, we had to plan that. 6 trees, meals, presents. What do you open first? Did we buy enough for this one? And instead of that, right? Once the planning's all done, you can relax. I need a plan for how I can know him so that I can relax and just take it in. I love that promise. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Verse 5 and following, here we go. And all flesh shall see it together. Who gets to see it? You can't miss it. You can deny it. We got plenty of deniers, right? Plenty of deniers, but everybody see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, well, what should I cry? All flesh is grass. All its beauty is like the flowers of the field. Let me tell me if you've heard this one. But the grass withers and the flower fades, but the breath of the Lord blows on it. Right? Wait a minute. That's not how I remember it. I remember the grass withers and the flower fades, but isn't it say, but the word of the Lord will stand forever? Or something like that, depending on your translation. Did I get it wrong? Or is it coming? It's coming. Give us a couple more verses. But look at this. Go back, please. When the breath of the Lord blows on it. If a grass continues, if a flower continues on, it is at the will of the Lord. And when God's ready for something to be over, he can end it. Who's in control of moving forward and stopping? Raising up and bringing down. Rough being smooth. What's the message that we're getting? Right? The Lord is in control. Right? That's what we should be crying. Keep going. Verse 8. Surely the people are grass. Oh, wait. That's us. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. This is what we're supposed to cry? Hey, Scott, you got any interesting ideas today? Yeah, I'm finite. I will have an end. Gee, Scott, that's so depressing. Yeah, but there's something more important, because long after I'm gone, what? God's still around. His truth never changes. Love that, because all his predictions come true, and then he becomes ultimate prophet. You know what I'm so worried about? I'm so worried about the grass withering. Because the people are the grass, right? Who am I worried about? No, not people. Lisa? Well, I like you. I'm not too worried about you. Who am I worried about? Me. Right? I'm worried about Scott way too much. That's a weird thought to think. You know, at some point you're going to end. Okay. If you can accept that and say, okay, well, then what's more important? Is there something I can invest my time, my energy, my thought, my heart, priorities in that will go beyond me? Something that I could start accentuating now. It says the word of the Lord stands forever. All right. Well, let's try that and see what happens to the grass and the flowers. Verse 9, go up to a high mountain. O Zion, herald of good news, lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news, lift it up and fear not. Hey, Israel, make sure this is known. Because when this comes down, when it happens, when Messiah does show up, people need to know that it was coming. And you need to testify to it and live like it. Verse 10. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your what? God, behold, the Lord God comes with might, and in his arm rules for him. And his arm rules for him. Behold, the Lord God comes with might. Who's coming? He said it like three times now, different ways, maybe more depending on how you count it. His arm rules for him, and behold, his reward is with him. His recompense before him. What's the reward? Everything that comes and plays out when you get a perfect prophet, a perfect priest, a perfect king, and a perfect savior. What's the reward? You get a Lord. Isn't that fun how that rhymes? Might be an extra write down this morning. What's your reward is the Lord. What's your gift at Christmas? You get perfection in all aspects of life, and it'll never end. Love that. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom. Does it sound like he cares? And gently lead those who are with young. And then watch this 12. This is God flexing a little bit, or really bringing truth. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? I can hold all the water right here. That's what he's saying. Right here. I can hold all the water. And mark off the heavens with a span. What's a span? That's a span. Next time you're in Hawaii and they're like, hey, hang loose, whatever. Like, hey, nice span. Span you very much. Enclose the dust of the earth in a measure and weigh the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. What's he saying he's bigger than? Everything. All. All is small. To him, all is small. Right? He's bigger than all of it. Verse 13, who has measured the Spirit of the Lord. I can measure the earth. I can measure this and that, the stars and all that kind of stuff, he says. Now, let's flip the measurement. Who can measure me? Watch what he says. Or what man shows him his counsel? Can you tell me anything about me? Whom did he consult? And who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Is there anybody that tells God what to do? Or fully understands him? No. Even the wisest of thoughts of mankind are but foolishness to God. That's actually a verse. Right? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. It's like, I can make whole countries disappear, and there's no sacrifice on the planet big enough. Oh, what are we missing then? We're missing a big enough sacrifice, right? And this is prophetic about who's coming. The Lord's coming. Where are we going to get our biggest sacrifice that can cover all this stuff that mankind can never? Jesus Christ as Savior. This is pointing to Easter. To whom then will you liken God? What do you compare him to? Or what likeness compare with him? An idol? You want to cast an image that makes you think of who God is? Watch what he says about idols. A craftsman casts it, a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts it with silver chains. And he who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. He says, you do your best. You try to find things that won't rot or have value, and you set it up. And even when you set it up, how mobile is it? Can't do anything. Yeah, that's a good point. Idols can fall over. They would if they were in my house. Verse 21, do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? What's he saying? There's no new information here. From the very beginning of the book, you've known who made everything, who set the rules, who shows up when there's trouble, who delivers, who gives truth. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. Who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness? Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows on them, they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me? Here's a subtle thing being said here. What do you really need? If these things are all true, if God is who he says he is, what do you need? What do you need? What do you want? We have to get to a place where we can answer that question. I was watching a famous movie that will remain unnamed to not distract from the analogy. But one character asked another character, what do you really want? And he couldn't answer it. And it's a tragic moment in the movie. It's a more tragic moment in life. What do you really need? What do you really want? Because you will get it. That's a weird thought posed by one of my seminary professors. You will get the desires of your heart. So what do you desire? Careful what you look for. Careful what you wish for. Careful what you pray for. You just might get it. Where did that phrase come from? How is it so popular? How do so many people know that phrase? Because it happens. And God is saying through Isaiah in this passage, if these things are all true, what you want, what you need desperately is God himself. You need him to stay in that realm that circles above the earth, in control of all things. That's what makes it work. Can you go back just for one line so I can get my reference? To whom then will you compare me? All right, here we go. That I should be like him, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatest of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. You know what I love about that? I lose so much stuff. Just this week, I couldn't find my keys. I couldn't find this. I couldn't find the one gift I bought for somebody. I lose stuff all the time. You know who never loses anything ever? I got a long list of words that are not in God's vocabulary, that had never existed in God's vocabulary. Losing, forgot something. You know, this was pointed out to me decades ago. You know that the Lord never forgets your sins? It says he separates you as far as the east is from the west, but never forgotten. Whoa, that's kind of interesting. Because as long as he knows what my sins are, he can keep me separated from them. I see he loses nothing. And in remembering the sins, he doesn't lose our value. And we can learn from that, right? Why do you say, O Jacob, verse 27, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord and my right is disregarded by my God? Oh my goodness, that is a great verse for this day, culture. Oh yeah, I have my rights. careful, never use that argument with God. I have my rights. God wants me to be happy. I should never have to. Careful. I said I would never plant a church. Right? We don't get to argue with God. Nor do we get to act like we can get away with things or do things that he can't see. Have you not known? Here we hear it again. Verse 28 is a repeat of what we heard earlier. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint nor grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Heard that one before? He does not faint or grow weary, right? Verse 29, he gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Now, I know you've heard that verse. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. This is like devotional pop-up verse 101. If you're signed up for one of those things, or you have the pull tab deal, or each day you pull it, it's the 31st. Oh, new verse, right? This is like key. Where do we get this verse from? We get this verse in one of the key passages predicting, prophesying, promising the coming of the Lord himself to reveal himself. And all that he is and what's important to show that he's still in control, that he can't be measured, defined, or even understood, but he is good and he is coming and you'll be fine. You'll be fine? What's wrong with that phrase, you'll be fine? How you doing? I'm fine. That's a terrible answer. I never want to be fine, right? What do you want to be? I want to be great. I want to be good. As one of my really good friends, Doc Tompkins, says, if I was doing any better, I'd be twins. Will you be fine? You'd be more than fine. You'd be better than fine. If you faint, if you get exhausted, if you grow weary, if you fall, whatever it is, what's the end game? You know what I love about years ending? As I'm reminded, they're not the end. It's just a year. And some people want to ask, did we accomplish what we were supposed to accomplish this year? Yes. Well, how do you know? Because the Lord is the Lord and nothing happens without his will. We did what we were supposed to do. Well, how should we plan for next year? The same way. What is the first future of the church, though, Scott? Draw attention to this. Oh, yeah, how? As many ways as we can with more people. Invite them to church. I don't know. Run a program for kids and youth and adults and men and women. I mean, as much as we can. Weddings, funerals, baby dedications, baptisms. Yeah, but isn't there more to it? There's nothing more than this. God has arrived on the scene. And more than prophet, priest, king, or savior, we got Lord. We got Lord. And we've known this from the beginning. And then in the middle, it said a voice in the wilderness crying out, here he comes. And we got 27 books after it going, that was him. And now we have things like Christmas that we celebrate and Easter that we celebrate. And we should rejoice. Fear does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, sensei. There you go. All right. Karate Kid. Why can fear be gone? Why can hope reign? Because we have a Lord. Amen? Well, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. I think you see why I had to talk about this morning and add a fifth one. And yes, I kind of was planning it for a little while just to have a little fun. Because we have a Lord. You have Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and ascended. And one of the greatest quotes, it's finished. He wasn't dead yet. And he said, it's finished. So he had to be talking about more than just his sacrifice. Whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're worried about, whatever you're hoping for, whatever you're confused about, it's finished. It is as if it's already happened. It might be in your future still. It might yet to be experienced by you, but who's absolute clear about it? God? All the time. It's why we can support pastors in other countries where we don't even speak the language and we don't even know any of these pastors. Well, I met a few of them, but most of us have never met any of these pastors. Why can we support them and do that? Why? Because we have a Lord that leads them. And as long as they trust in the Lord, that wait on the Lord, they'll be good. And if they don't, we'll be good. We'll be better than good. God get what he wants? Oh, yeah. How often? Always. Always. When? Always. Well, every time, but when? Whenever he wants, right? Which is the part we don't like. Which is the part we have issue with. Could you do it faster? I mean, we've got drive-thrus down here for crying out loud, right? I can get a coffee for more than I can a double cheeseburger at In-N-Out, and I can get it like that. So God, can you move a little faster? Right? By the way, I like that caffeinated with extra whip. It's a weird mentality that we have. Hey, 31 verses, amen? What do we know from this? If we have a prophet, priest, king, savior, and that means we have a Lord, which, by the way, those four are down here, Lord is up here, then what do? We always. Verse 3. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. So we always prepare. We always prepare for Jesus.
Well, that doesn't make sense, Scott, because I don't think he's coming to my New Year's party.
I don't mean set a place for him. I mean, in your thinking, in your planning, in your mentality, in your vocabulary, in your bank account, like, how are you trusting that Jesus is current and in your future? How are you preparing for God to be a part of you? How about better said, how are you preparing for you to be part of God? Because guess what? That grass is going to wither. And between now and when it withers, well, y'all could have some fun. How do you prepare for Jesus? Remember I said earlier, I need a plan. If he can be known and he's knowable, I have access, how do I do it? I need a plan. That's what you need to come up with? This is a little bit weird. Do you know how I prepare for Jesus? This right here, this thing that I do here, this, every Sunday, 54 times a year. Wait, Scott, there's only 52 weeks in a year. Yeah, but if you're a nerdy pastor, you figure out that there's 52 weeks in a year. There's Monday, Thursday night, which we call Lord's Supper service, and there's Christmas Eve. Two more. 52 plus 2, 54. And somebody wanted to ask me about retiring. Retire? What would I do on Sunday? This is what I do to stay close to the Lord. I geek out on this stuff. I read stuff when no one's around. It's the weirdest thing. What do you do? Do you get into music? Do you get into worship? Will you hum some of these songs when you're driving? Do you listen to podcasts? Do you have a reading plan? I have a reading plan, Scott. I'm going through the Bible. Great. Whatever works for you. Do you have a small group? Maybe small group's not your thing. Do you pray by yourself? Do you pray with others? Do you do solitude? Do you tithe? Do you sacrifice? Do you serve? I tell you what, the people that are having the best experience are the ones that I've seen prepare for Jesus in every way they can. They invite people to it. And then they listen to others that are preparing as well. And we do the best we can. John the Baptist prepared so much he lost his head. Double meaning. Always prepare for Jesus. Number two, take him at his word. The grass withers, the flower fades. That's us. We were told directly in the passage, that's us. But the word of the Lord stands forever. Okay, where's my investment? Just take the two under, take word. Just take the word. At some point, you have to follow it. But before you understand it, before you believe it, I would say start obeying it. For me, I had a really hard time understanding it or believing it. As a young teenage male with testosterone, competitive, and a lot of my own desires, this whole thing that we do here really gets in the way. So for it to make sense, for me to believe it, I had to do a lot of experimentation. I had to do a lot of obedience. I made a commitment one time. I was going to make it to church every single Sunday for a whole year, no matter what, because I wanted to see what would happen. I made other commitments where I was going to pray about something for a certain time. And it's amazing what has happened when I've done that. More amazing to me is when I watch other people do it and what happens with them. It's just, you mean it actually works? And here's the thing. You can do this. Some of you take a pill every single day, and it's no big deal anymore because you take it every single day. Make God more important than your medication. Okay? Now, I want to say this. I want to tangent really quick because I want to make sure I'm really clear on this. I might need to get closer to the what's that called? Camera. Take your medication. I'm not saying that God's more important than your medication, so you don't do medication. I'm saying make God more important. But he also gave you doctors and medications for a reason, so do them. Okay, there. We get that one clear? I still want the emails that come from that for us to be labeled as one of those kind of churches. Some of you have routines. My mom has been selling me from the moment I was any kind of coherent, life is about routines and patterns. I'm almost getting it. I'm still working on it, right? Make God part of your pattern. Some of you get up way before the rest of us, and you got your Bible out and your coffee and a little light and the whole thing. Folks, let's just public confession time. That's not me. I in the morning, I'm not sure I'm alive, right? I have to come up with a different plan. Now, long after many of you are asleep, no light on, laying in my bed, I got my phone and I'm reading stuff. Oh, it works for me. I listen to podcasts, I do a bunch of stuff. What? Why? So I can get more of his word. What's in his word? Starts with T, rhymes with ooth, right? This is how we get truth. It's one of the great ways. The best songs speak to that truth. You sang one of them today. Loved it. There's another in the fire with me, and I'll never be alone. That'd be a great thing to remember. Quote regularly. I'm not alone. What are they referring to? No, there's another in the fire. What are they referring to? It is Jesus with us. What's the story they're referring to? It's from Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah, that's good. That's what the king called them. I'm going to call them what their mama named them. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. You want to rename them? Great. I'm going to call them Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. Because they were in the fire, and then somebody looked in and said, I thought there were three, now there's four. Some want to say, oh, there was an angel with him. No, not me. I believe God is in the business of coming down regularly and getting involved. And I think that's what happened. Because he said he would. He said it over and over. He said it in his greatest prophet. He did it in Genesis. He did it in Daniel. He did it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. How many other times? Doesn't matter. How many times with you? If you prepared for him and you took him at his word, how more often would he show up in ways, mysterious ways? I'm running out of ways to explain this because I've had way too many experiences. What I've experienced in family, what I've experienced in career, what I've experienced in health, what I've experienced in soccer, not so much what I experienced with the Raiders, but everything else. Right? I'm almost ready to go over to the Niners. Oh, did I say that out loud? All right, let's move on before this gets worse. Last one. We're going to strike that from the tape. I love this one. The first two are definitely from the passage. This one, I think if there was one thing I could get people that come through this church to buy into, this dabbles in it right here. You know that verse we said, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength? Right? What's the command there? If you were to make a command, if you were to make a prayer, Lord, help me to wait on you. What's the command? Wait on me. Right? Wait for the Lord. That might be one of the hardest. And we're waiting for him, yeah? But for those that are on the more practical side, rather than the more devotional side, rather than just feeling good about it, because the Lord's with me. I want him to show up on the practical side and move. All right, God, what are we doing? What are you doing? Do something. Something's got to change. This ain't working. I'm about to be out. I'm about to move on. Because there is a forklift at a Costco somewhere that is calling my name. So what are we doing? This is what we're waiting for. We're waiting for him to move. And then, will follow be a great one? Write that underneath. What's the most simplistic way to take this? You wait for him to move, and Lisa, then move. Wait till he's moving. And then when you get 51% confirmation that it's him and he's moving, jump on the bandwagon. Just jump on. It'd be like some of my Kansas City Chief fans. Never heard of them before. All of a sudden they start winning Super Bowls. It's like, oh, now I'm, oh, yeah. Patrick Mahomes, yeah, he's my best boy. I love him. Well, I was Niner fans in the 80s. But when you prepare for the Lord and you take him at his word, that's when you can recognize when he's moving. That's where you get the patience to wait. That's where you get calm. Peace that surpasses all understanding, and you can function on fear never again. Anybody tired of functioning on fear? Drives me nuts. Bananas. I want to be an optimist eternally. Luckily, I bought into the right system because eventually he wins. So I got to wait. I just got to wait. Because in the last 2 minutes of his game, we're winning. And the after party. I want you to understand that your joy, your experience, your party can begin now. The greatest attribute of heaven is the presence of God. The greatest attribute of hell is the absence of the presence of God for you. You can experience both on this planet. With no pursuit of the Lord, no preparation for him, you deny his word and do your own thing, and you ignore when he moves. You can start experiencing hell. Or, let's have Happy Sunday, right? Wait for him, talk to him, serve him. Obey him. It might start to make sense later. You might believe it later, but you do what you do because you move because you think he's moving, and you watch what happens. Will you start experiencing God now? If it isn't a little piece of heaven, you get the prequel. Amen? For some of you, you never bought in. There's people all over the planet buying in every single day. 360 Serve just talked about it just for a minute. It can happen right here, and it can happen with you. All right, Lord, I'm going to wait on you from now on. I'm going to be yours. Be my prophet, priest, king, savior, and Lord from now on. I submit to you. Forgive me for what I've denied. Forgive me for running my own way. But from now on, I'm just going to do you. Let's do you from now on, Lord. And then let us help you. It's why we're here. It's why we do next year. It's what we do next year. You know, for some of us, a little bit of a tradition in our church to come up with a word for the year. Ooh, my word this year is blah, 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 whatever it is, right? Fill in the blank. I was thinking about suggesting a word for you this morning. I was going to suggest, hey, this year, your word, it should be Lord. You have a Lord. It's a little vague, and I think it could be all of our words. So I want to encourage you to come up with your own word other than Lord, but tie it to Lord. Hey, my word for the year is patience. Okay, in patience, I'm going to be patient with the Lord, or I'm going to be patient because of the Lord. You see what I did there? Figure out what your word is for the year, if you're that kind of person, and figure out how you attach it to the Lord. Because that's, I think, a way we wait on the Lord and watch him move. Trust and rest in him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Lord, thanks for this morning. Thanks for being on the scene. Thank you for being immeasurable. And yet, never forgetting a thing. Pray, Lord, for all the things that we think about and all the things that we feel. That we would base them in you, that we would tie them to you. That we would remember that you are in all things and you have a plan. That you came to get our attention, that we might know you. I pray that you would help each one of us do that. Thank you for the ways that you made that happen this year and provide even more this year to come. But we might know and understand you and help others too as well. Thank you, Lord, for the offering we're about to receive. We thank you for the church that you allow us to experience, that we might experience you more and more. And we trust you in all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. I think that's my theme song, Looking Like a Fool. Woo! Christmas is over. I miss it already. Good news, you only have to wait about 11 more months till Advent readings begin again. You only have to wait about 7 more months till Costco has the decorations out for Christmas. And I give you permission to leave your Christmas decorations up as long as you want. But these ones are going to come down soon. If you've yet to have your family photo in front of them, today would be a great time to make sure that happens. Because who knows what happens next Sunday? Yeah? By the way, today's the last day for donations. If you have something that you want to get in this tax calendar year and have it deposited in the bank for us, that's great. Little known thing, though, if you write your check and date it this year and turn it in the next couple days, it's dated this year and you gave it to us this year, you can claim it. That's on you and your tax person, okay? And no, I don't give tax advice. May you always wait on him. Amen? Go with him.